Good morning. Before I start, last week the pastor mentioned the book 40 Days of Prayer. He was talking about the author, Dennis Smith. Have any of you ever gone through this book? I know the Roseburg Church went through it at one time. I bought one, and I was just wondering if there's anybody that would like to go through this, just let me know. And it's a commitment of 40 days to work together, and it's not something you do like at prayer meeting once a week, or you just do it day after day for 40 days. Anyway, if you're interested, let me know. Shall we bow our heads for another prayer? Lord, I ask that you will be with the words that I speak, and pray that they will be a blessing, and that your presence in all that we do and say will be glorified. Amen. To start with, last July, Judy and I got to go to camp meeting with Amy and the kids for the first time in quite a while. We got to spend the whole time there. I was driving one of the little shuttle carts. I don't know how many of you were at camp meeting and saw these little carts running around carrying people. That was quite an experience in itself. But as a result of that, I didn't get to many of the meetings. But I did get to the meeting that was first thing in the morning that was entitled Wasting Time with God. And I saw that and I thought, I've got to know what this is about. And so it was put on by Elder Bob Mix, who is the pastor of the Laurelwood Forest Grove Churches up in the Portland area. And the title of his first meeting was Wasting Time with God in Prayer. And I got to thinking about the time, and since I retired for myself, there's been a lot of time. Because what do I do now? I get up, and I don't have any place to be. And so I've got this time that I don't want to waste, and I look at my day at the end of the day, and I think, man, what did I do that was really worthwhile today? And so that was kind of on my mind, too. And so I started looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It starts out, in everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal. I thought that one was kind of strange, but some versions talk about this in relation to animals, a time to kill an animal or a time to try to make it better. A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. And that's another one I was wondering, okay, when is it the time to hate? Where does that come in at? We could probably have a good discussion about that. A time of war and a time of peace. And then in verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And then the last part is 17, for there is a time for every purpose and for every work. So thinking about that in our time for prayer, and how do we waste time? What do we consider wasting time? When we look back at our day and we think, I wasted this day, what does that look like? Is it a waste of time to be out weeding in your garden? Or is it a waste of time to be fighting blackberries? It seems like my yearly task is to fight blackberries. They're always coming back. How about cleaning the house? Is that a waste of time? And my wife says, well, it's probably a waste of time if you've got little kids running around tearing it up right after you're done. How about watching television? Or how about reading a good book? Does everything we do in the day have to be on a strict schedule, or do we have latitude in that? Where do we draw the line? Quality time in prayer is something that I have struggled with for a long time. Back when we lived in Michigan, the guy that I moved, I worked for the Michigan Conference for 5 years, and I moved a Bible worker from Illinois back to Holly, Michigan, where we were stationed. And he had already come up there and found a place to live, and he brought his family up. And so I had a load I had to take to Chicago, And so he rode with me to Chicago, and we dropped that off. Then we went down into Illinois and got his furniture and brought it back. So we spent several days together in this round trip. And we were talking about prayer and spiritual growth. And he says, well, now the secret is to get up first thing early in the morning, an hour before you're supposed to, and get down on your knees and spend a quality hour with God in prayer. I said, okay. So the next time I was home and had a chance, I set the alarm early, got out of bed, knelt down, and was going to pray for an hour. An hour later, Judy woke me up and said it was time to go to work. So that didn't work out for me. But then just this last week, I got to thinking about it, that what better place to sleep than in the arms of God? Our grandchildren are getting older now, but when they were little, they would come to me and they would want me to hold them. Well, if they went to sleep, I wouldn't get mad at them and say, boy, get out of here. I don't want you. You're sleeping in my arms. I was glad for their presence to be in my company. They wanted to be with me at that time. And I think God feels the same way. If we want to spend time with God, if this is our goal, He is happy to spend whatever time we are willing to give to Him. And we praise the Lord for that. There have been surveys asking people, are you satisfied with your prayer experience? One survey of 678 people found only 3% were happy with their prayer time. And another survey, a survey of pastors, was asking, what is your average time in prayer per day? And they said, 5 to 7 hours? No, it was 5 to 7 minutes a day for a pastor to spend in prayer. How can a pastor, with all the work that they have to do, spend so little time in prayer and yet be able to function in that position? I forget who it was, but I remember hearing an old-time evangelist say that he had to spend 3 or 4 hours a day in prayer before he could get all the work done that he had to do for that day. And I thought that was a really good statement. Most of my comments that aren't from the Bible are from Steps to Christ, chapters 12 and 13, or from the Bob Nix series that I attended. Prayer is where we build our love relationship with God. Prayer is opening the heart to God as to a friend. Do you have a hard time talking to your friends? It was kind of interesting. This past Thanksgiving, our son Mark and his wife and 2 daughters came down from Portland, and his 1 daughter's 15, and there were cousins there, and there were aunts and uncles, and there were grandparents, but she was on her phone just all the time. Could hardly get her out of the phone long enough to talk to somebody. And so she had something in common with these people that she was communicating with. You have a hard time talking to your friends. And maybe we should talk a little bit about what it means to be a friend. What are the qualifications of a friendship? Can you be friends with just anybody? Or are there just certain people that you click with and that you want to spend time with? I know we've got people that we knew in Michigan that every time we get to talk to them, it's just like we had seen them yesterday or last week, and it's been 20, 30 years since we've seen some of them. But there is something special about this friendship, and it's usually because the people have something in common or a special bond of some sort that draws them into a friendship. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. How many of us want to have that title, maybe on our tombstone, a friend of God? Wouldn't that be neat to just have people know us as that? So being a friend of God entails believing God. What a privilege we have of being a friend of God. When we look at the prayer life of Jesus, we can pick out at least 4 prayer principles. Jesus did not start his day without prayer. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And I was thinking about that. In our country, can you imagine if you got up and left your house and it's pouring down rain and you go out and you find some place to pray out in the woods somewhere maybe? Where would you go? We've got a spot in our property that's kind of up on the hill overlooking the valley. It's kind of a little level spot up there. And I thought, well, man, it would be really nice to put a little cabin or a little shelter up here to go up there and pray. But I never did do it. Now it's 10 feet deep in blackberries probably. It was just a nice, quiet spot to just go up and look out over the valley and just spend time with God. Jesus' first prayer principle is faith in God. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Also, James 1:5-8. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. Jesus' second prayer principle is a love exchange. And this is from Luke 3:21-22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Also Mark 9:2-7. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led him on a high mountain, for they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. Prayer opens my heart to God as to a friend. Prayer allows me to experience God's love for me. Prayer allows me to experience my love for God. Jesus' third prayer principle is divine alignment. Jesus received both guidance and energy to know and to do his Father's will. Luke 15:17. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him, and he healed them of their sickness. But Jesus withdrew to a lonely place to pray. And one day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. So his time apart in prayer is what gave him the power to do the great works that he did. Jesus' prayer principle number 4 is inside out. We live out our prayer life just like Jesus did. The strength we gain in prayer goes with us all day. And then Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. We see Jesus in Gethsemane in Matthew 26:39-44. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me. Yet not I will, but as you will." And aren't we all glad that Jesus did that for us, that he paid the price, that he was willing to go through that experience in the garden just so that we could be saved? What a precious gift that is. Jesus knew his disciples. He knew their weakness and what they would do, and he loved them anyway. He knew Peter would deny him, and Peter was still part of the three. Do you think of that? That Jesus knew what was going to happen with Peter, but he didn't reject him because of that. And he even told Peter, "When you are converted, take care of my sheep." And he trusted him. He gave him opportunity, even though he knew he was going to fail. I just can't understand that. It's just amazing to me. Elder Mick said, "The time Jesus devoted to prayer changed everything. It prepared him for his ministry. It allowed the Holy Spirit to work in him, through him, and around him more powerfully than had he not prayed. In fact, Jesus could not have succeeded had he not been a man of prayer." Do you agree with that or disagree with that? If anyone had an inside track to God and the Holy Spirit, it was Jesus. Yet he felt a greater need for God than we seem to. Again, when doubts creep in, and I wonder whether my prayer is a sanctified form of talking to myself. Have any of you ever felt like that? That you spend your time in prayer and you wonder if anybody is listening or if you're just talking to yourself? I remind myself that the Son of God, who had spoken galaxies into being and sustains all that exists, felt a compelling need to pray. Then I ask myself, how often do I feel a compelling need to pray? Or is it just something that I do because I feel like I have to? And this is something that I have to deal with. It's something that I'm struggling with, is to get this time spent in prayer. Time spent in prayer seems wasted to someone who has other priorities than a relationship with God. What could that be? What would be more important than a relationship? Could it be our daily problems of food, health, and shelter? Philippians 4:19 says, "My God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Is Jesus your God? Did you take time to build that relationship? If your best friend tells you he or she will do something for you, do you believe them? Even if our best friend does not keep their word, God does. Whatever he promises, he will do. For one who loves God forever, there is no more productive or necessary act than to spend time in prayer. Those of you who have been married can remember the time of courtship and how that the phone calls and the late nights and the dates that lasted far into the morning perhaps, and yet you would get up the next day and you'd be energized and ready to go to school or work or whatever was going on. And this is the way it can be when we spend time in prayer with God. Even if we don't get the sleep that we think we need, we can wake up more energized than if we had not spent that time. I remember when Judy and I were dating, the first date, we were going to go to a movie. And I spent time getting my 57 Chevy all washed up and cleaned the interior and had it all looking real nice. And I thought about things that we could talk about. And I picked her up, took her to the theater. And we were sitting in the car because it wasn't quite time to go in yet, and listening to the radio and talking. And then when it was time to go in, I carefully locked the car and we went inside, watched the movie. I forget what it was now. You could probably tell me, but I don't remember. And came back out and went to unlock the car and realized the keys were in the car. And, of course, I was all embarrassed, and I had to go back in. This is when they still had a lot of these metal coat hangers around. I went back in the theater and got a coat hanger and fished around and got the car unlocked and got in there. And you think she was mad at me for not remembering to take my keys out? No, she thought it was funny, and she even ended up marrying me after all. So I thought that was a good thing. Again, getting back to relationship. The same is true with relationship with God. He is not wanting perfection. He wants sincerity. And 90% of spending time with God in prayer is showing up. We may not know exactly how to do it right, but God isn't concerned if we're doing it right or not. He wants us to spend the time. He will teach us how to do it right. As our courtship continued, there was less thought about preparation for the date and more thought about the time spent together. The relationship building. If we did not talk for a while, it was no big deal. We were together, and this is the way it is with God. So in prayer, God is anxious to talk to us. Yes, he wants to hear what we have to say, but he also wants us to listen and not jump up at the amen. And how many of us have a tendency to do that? I know I do. Okay, I'm done. Amen. I'm out of here, you know, and get on with the day. I've got to break that habit too. In courtship or friendship, how long would it last if I would say the same thing every time we met? Like, hi, how are you? How is your day? Can I borrow some money? How long would it be before that person, friend or spouse, turn away and run the other way every time they saw you? What about our prayer time with God? like, thank you for the day, thank you for the food, please give me good health, and maybe a new car. I know that sometimes God must get tired of my predictable, selfish prayers, and I'm sorry for that. The answer may be there if we would stay and listen. God says, be still and know me. When Mike was ready to start first grade, I was unemployed. We lived out in Rice Valley. With no extra money, tuition was, of course, a very high priority in our prayer time. And one Monday morning, during prayer, I felt impressed that I should do my job search in Cottage Grove that day. And so I went up there, and the first place I stopped at was a little truck shop that was alongside the road. They had chip trucks, I remember. And it was alongside the road there just before you get into Cottage Grove. I went in and I asked the guy if he had any work, like I'd done hundreds of times before, it seemed. And he said, yes. He said, my mechanic just quit. I need a mechanic this week. So I was very glad. I worked Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. And Friday morning, after I was home, he called me and he says, my mechanic came back. I don't need you anymore. Come up Monday and get your check. So I went up Monday and got my check. And when we started this job, I had $20 for gas. At the end of the job, I had $20, tuition, and enough to pay tithe. And was it worth it to spend this time in prayer? I think it was. Does God answer like that every time? No. Does that mean we no longer have a relationship? Certainly not. The relationship continues. If prayer is the place where God and human beings meet, then we must learn to pray. We must make time to pray. We learn to pray by doing it. Ask God to help you. He is more than anxious to spend time with us than we can imagine. And in closing, suppose God wanted you to double your time in prayer. Would you be willing to do that? Please give it a try and see if you and your world will not be transformed. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Loving Father, I do thank you so much, Lord, for being willing to spend time with us. Even in the humble prayers that we bring to you, Lord, I'm so thankful that you listen and you are anxious to communicate with us. Help us to be willing to spend that time with you. And thank you so much for being here this morning. Amen.